You're with us on The Morning Show as we broadcast from our studios in Superior. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're looking at conservation in the Great Lakes region and the policy efforts underway to promote restoration. And you can join in. We're at 800-642-1234. Do you live on the Great Lakes? And if so, what do you love about it? And what are the challenges? Jen Venater is a policy analyst and the Great Lakes Program Coordinator at the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Jen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, introduce us to the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. What are you tackling? What is your work like?
Well, first, the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission is an intertribal natural resource agency. We have delegated authority to co-manage natural resources within what we call the ceded territories. And these territories cover much of the top third of the states of Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. While our primary job is to ensure compliance with federal court orders that recognize the continuing existence of our member tribes' hunting, fishing, and gathering rights, it is recognized that those rights are meaningless if the natural resources at their base are too contaminated to eat, or if the habitats in which they exist are degraded to the point at which their populations are not sustainable. So Glyphwick's mission has expanded to include managing for the health and sustainability of these natural resources, and that includes Lake Superior and its ecosystems as well.
So your commission is really involved in lots of different activities to protect natural resources while also incorporating an Ojibwe perspective into its work. You know, from the organization's perspective, what does that mean?
What that means is... So the indigenous perspective, while every community has its own underlying values, to state it in a simple way, we emphasize the importance of learning from the other beings in natural communities, recognizing there's an interdependence between all beings, including the inanimate and animate objects. And this means that humans have a certain responsibility towards the natural world. The natural world can exist without humans, whereas humans are dependent on that natural world. So we tend to take a management perspective that supports what is in the best interest of those natural resources, while, the modern management technique is more focused on maybe what is best for humans. What this translates into is we tend to skew management efforts more towards a protective framework.
And here we are, we're broadcasting from Superior and feeling very close to Lake Superior. And when it comes to conservation and environmental protection, the commission is focused on the Great Lakes. What does that entail? What are you doing?
Well, the work that we're doing is twofold. One is an overarching management work. So my job is essentially to help coordinate the exercise of tribal sovereignty with the other governments that have a role in Great Lakes management. And this involves ensuring that tribes have a seat at the table whenever decisions are being made, and trying to ensure those decisions reflect the Ojibwe management perspective. That translates to on-the-ground work with cooperative terrestrial invasive species monitoring, treatment, and control, aquatic invasive species control work. We are undertaking climate change vulnerability assessment on key species that are of importance to our member tribes, and climate adaptation planning. We're doing water quality monitoring work. We are monitoring for legacy and emerging chemicals in the water of the Great Lakes and its tributaries. And we're also working on the restoration of important areas within the lake that have already been degraded, such as Buffalo Reef off the Keweenaw Peninsula in Michigan.
We're talking with Jen Venater. She's a policy analyst and the Great Lakes Program Coordinator at the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. You can join in with your thoughts, your perspectives, questions, 800-642-1234. Perhaps you live on the Great Lakes. And if so, what do you appreciate about the conservation, about restoration efforts, and what are the challenges that you see? You can join in at 800-642-1234, email ideas@wpr.org. So, you know, the Great Lakes, they're the Midwest's greatest shared resource. And as a result, there's a lot of people, a lot of stakeholders here. You've got the local governments and the state governments, the tribes. So how does the commission fit in here and work with all of these different agencies and these different interests?
Well, like you said, the Great Lakes are an international, they're international bodies of water, and so they're governed by numerous international and regional agreements, treaties, and various management bodies. So the commission, along with the Great Lakes tribes, sit on the management bodies with the other governments. So we can start with the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement, which is the primary agreement between the United States and Canada that makes commitments with regards to the quality of water in the Great Lakes. So the primary body that oversees the Great Lakes, that oversees the implementation of the agreement, is the Great Lakes Executive Committee, which is made up of representatives from federal agencies from Canada and the U.S. and state agencies around the basin and the agencies from Ontario and tribes. And GLIF Lakes sits on that body. And it narrows all the way down to the Lake Superior Partnership, which is a partnership that implements the Lake Superior Lakewide Action Management Plan, which makes specific commitments from all the agencies from all the various jurisdictions around Lake Superior. And it makes commitments working towards the priorities on conservation and restoration around.
Do you find that communication lines are pretty strong and open, that people are working together?
In Lake Superior, it is very much an open and engaged process. We all work very well together, and there's a long history of cooperation.
Where do you see that most? Where do you see that cooperation shining through in the best interest of Lake Superior?
Well, I mean, it's on an individual staff level between mm-hmm. all the various agencies, but also when you get to the Lake Superior Partnership. You know, we have weekly teleconferences where we touch base with where we are on reaching the priorities in the Lakewide Action and Management Plan. And it travels from that level all the way up to the broader Great Lakes Basin.
And what about the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative? You know, how is that initiative making an impact?
The Great Lakes Restoration Initiative has been a wonderful initiative. It has provided, for tribes specifically, it has provided the capacity to become much more engaged and active in all of these management bodies. It has allowed for staff and travel and capacity to participate in these.
And what kind of lake management work is being done?
Under the GLRI?
Under the Restoration Initiative.
Under the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, so for tribes, we have, there's a lot of capacity funding, like I said, to allow tribes to have the capacity to attend these meetings and have somebody to work on these initiatives full-time. And GLIF Lake itself receives GLRI funding to work on its terrestrial invasive species and its aquatic invasive species work. And we're doing lake whitefish and lake trout depth, temperature, and diet studies to determine why some populations seem to be in decline.
We're talking with Jen Venater. She's a policy analyst and Great Lakes Program Coordinator at the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Are you worried about conservation on the lakes or other environmental issues? If so, what is on your mind? We're at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about conservation live from Superior, Wisconsin. Eight states have shoreline on the Great Lakes, and stakeholders are working across government and cultural lines to preserve and protect these natural resources. Are you concerned about conservation on the lakes or other environmental issues? What is on your mind? What questions do you have about the role of the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Or with Jen Van Otter. She's a policy analyst and the Great Lakes Program Coordinator at the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Jen, one of the biggest challenges in conservation work right now and in the future is how to deal with the consequences of climate change. And when it comes to the Great Lakes, where are we seeing that impact?
Well, we're seeing one of the most obvious are more frequent precipitation events, flooding where we've never had flooding before, flooding that's happening more often. We're also seeing warmer winters, which has less snow cover, which impacts specifically for Cliff Lake, it impacts culturally important species like sugar maple and martens. We're also seeing it in the possible decline of wild rice. And
what work is being done to mitigate that impact? Where are you making inroads there?
Well, the work that we're doing right now, we are undertaking a vulnerability assessment study of 60 species of importance to our tribes, and we are trying to determine their ranking in terms of vulnerability with regard to various climate change scenarios. And we're also undertaking a phenology study to try to fill in some gaps as to what changes we're going to be seeing in various species. And that will lead to climate adaptation planning at this point.
And certainly with these efforts, fish are impacted, and the Great Lakes section of the Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission works to ensure treaty reserved fishing rights are preserved. What does that look like in practice?
So we undertake annual fish abundance studies on white fish and lake trout. And we're also right now undertaking a diet and diet diversity study for lake whitefish. We've seen some recent declines in fish growth size and condition in the lake. And so we're undertaking this diet study and depth temperature study to try to understand what might be causing this, whether it could be something like climate change or there not being enough food or changes to the dry cygnid mussel populations in the lake.
Do you see that the efforts to combat climate change and the work that the commission is doing, will that impact fishing on the Great Lakes?
There is that potential, yes.
And one of the more recent projects that you've worked on has to do with water diversion. What can you tell us about that?
Well, as you know, the regional body and the Compact Council have a process for applying for diverting water out of the Great Lakes Basin. Last year, they undertook a review of this process to see if changes needed to be made. Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission helped to facilitate the involvement of tribes and First Nations in this review process to make sure we could help help any changes that needed to be made in that process. And this year, the Compact Council and regional body are undertaking a review of their science strategy and possible changes to their cumulative impact analysis for analyzing how water diversions, consumptive uses, and can cumulatively impact the water quality or quantity in the Great Lakes Basin. And we are participating in that review as well.
So cumulative impact study means looking at all of the ways that that water is being impacted and then figuring out a way to move forward?
Right. As each of these applications for diversions are presented, they're analyzed not only on how they would impact that specific region, but how each diversion that currently exists would possibly add together to have a greater impact. And so they're undertaking a review to see if the way in which they analyze those cumulative impacts can be improved.
In recent years, the city of Waukesha has sought approval to divert water from Lake Michigan in an effort to replace the city's contaminated drinking water. How did that situation factor in here?
That situation spurred the decision on the part of the Compact Council and regional body to undertake a review of their process, and specifically to see if there were changes that needed to be made for objections to any diversion application decisions.
And as you look forward for the commission, what are other issues that you're working on in the coming months that are on your plate and you're really trying to dig into?
Well, what we're working on right now, we have Action Plan 3 coming up for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. That is a five-year action plan that kind of directs funding decisions under the GLRI. That is currently under review. The GLRI has developed a new tribal-specific program that we are trying to help direct the development of that to a degree that is most helpful for reaching the goals of the GLRI and continued implementation of the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement and a drafting of a new lake-wide action and management plan for Lake Superior.
As we wrap up here, we had heard earlier this month President Trump expressing his support for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, and he's now calling for full funding after his budget originally called for cuts to the program. What do you see happening here in terms of funding?
I am highly optimistic that it will be fully funded again. There is, great relationships and cooperation amongst all stakeholders within the Great Lakes region as to the importance of the GLRI and the importance of continuing the work that we've been doing on the restoration and protection of the Great Lakes.
Well, Jen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Jen Venater is a policy analyst and the Great Lakes Program Coordinator at the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Invasive species control is one piece of conservation, and today our highlight is on the sea lamprey.
They're a parasite, so they actually can rasp through their skin, then they suck out their body fluids, and that's how they feed. And obviously that's not good for the fish.
Not good at all. Our search for more about sea lamprey is in the Great Lakes led our team to Middle River in northern Wisconsin. The morning show's executive producer, Keely Baltina, has this story.
In late April, it takes a snow shovel, dodging branches, scraping pickup truck windows, and dragging fallen limbs off a path to make it to the river.
We've never found any lamprey above it since it's been constructed.
Cloudy water topples over the edge of a dam. It crashes into white waves below. Fish biologist Sean Lewandowski says the barrier stops sea lampreys. The fish looks like an eel, gray and slim. It has a disc for a mouth with teeth. They're not pretty.
They don't have that going for them either. But they are interesting fish. They're neat.
All throughout the Great Lakes, agencies work together to control the population of this menace. Bill Mattis is with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission.
They attacked the lake trout primarily because it's a soft-sided, it has real small scales, so it's easy for the lamprey to attack. It will attack any fish. It'll attack lake sturgeon that have plates on the side of them.
Mattis says the sea lamprey population peaked in the 1960s. The numbers today, though, are down 90% from that historic high.
And the reason there's such a collaboration to control the sea lamprey is that without the sea lamprey being controlled to the point where they are now at 10%, we would not have lake trout fisheries, likely wouldn't have whitefish fisheries, and would have less of the nearshore fisheries because the lamprey would feed on the fish.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife officials are scouting Middle River. Fish biologist Sean Lewandowski is preparing to set metal traps again this spring to catch lampreys.
It's basically just like a rectangle, and it has two funnels that fish can swim into, and they can't swim out. So we just set them right up against the dam, and lamprey moving upstream looking to find their way over the dam will end up just swimming into the funnels, and that's how we catch them.
Removing adult lampreys prevents them from spawning, which means the next generation of lampreys can't destroy fish native to the Great Lakes. Lewandowski says it's an unending battle.
The goal of actually 100% getting rid of all of them is not very feasible in the near future.
If nothing else, sea lampreys invading Lake Superior offer some job security.
I'm pretty confident in my lifetime. I'm set. Who knows what they'll figure out 30 years from now. But.
The Morning Show's Keely Boltina and Laura Pavin produced this story in northern Douglas County. And we continue this broadcast from our studios in Superior with a focus on forest conservation. Learn how state officials and private landowners are partnering to promote sustainability. That's up next, right after this news update. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.